This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 15, 2015, the 24th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It's a pretty general understanding that we should know our faith, but that can be somewhat ambiguous for any of us and very relativistic. What they know is this, or what I know is that. Well, it's a general admonition, but it's an admonition that bears a lot of thought, because the prophet tells us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of heaven. They shall show like the brightness of the firmament. So, as we know that there are rewards in heaven, the more wise you would be, the brighter you would shine. That's what we get from this whole thing. And we have to understand that as we approach our faith, it is, yes, a general understanding that we should know it, but do we ever think really about what that entails, this knowledge of our faith, being wise in the faith? What is it to be wise? It's not a big secret. It's not something that's esoteric or something that, I just can't figure that out. It's a mystical thing. No, it's easy to know your faith. Our Lord has provided many objective things to know our faith. Who are wise? Okay? It's a question we can each ask ourselves. Who is wise? What makes you wise in your faith? Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Right? This is rhetorical, all right? I don't want a show of hands. If you show hands, for one thing, I know you're prideful, and pride cometh before a fall, okay? And I've seen a couple of hands. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How many people know the Ten Commandments? I mean, you'd probably know it if I said, "Thou shalt not steal." That's one. Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. That's one. Can you recite the Ten Commandments? Can you recite the Ten Commandments? Can you recite them in order? All right? It's not you're going to heaven or hell if you can. But if our Lord Jesus Christ said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," guess what? It would probably be a cool thing if you knew them. All right? I'm just saying. We're actually going to start something. Advent, there's such a dramatic change in the way the liturgy is done during Advent. So if you're going to implement a practical change liturgically, which we're going to do a couple, you do it at Advent. It's the beginning of the Christian year. One of the things that we're going to start doing again that we used to do, on the first Sunday of every month, the Decalogue will be recited. Not just a summary of the law, but all the Ten Commandments. All right? That's how we learn things. Why do you know the Nicene Creed? Maybe you can't get there all, but if I would start it, everybody in here would know the Nicene Creed. Because why? You go to Mass. All right? You hear it every week. If you hear the Ten Commandments, that repetition. So we're going to start that again. That we used to do that and it waned. We're going to start it again because it's important. We should know them. Again, our Lord, if you love me, you will keep them. Good to know them. The summary of the law, even the summary of the law that we hear at the beginning of every Mass, it can be intimidating. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. I don't do that. Well, you don't do it if you perceive that to mean that 24/7 your nose is in the Bible or you're praying a rosary. How are you going to work if you do that? So it can't mean that. And it doesn't mean you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind if you don't do that. What that means is, and you are fulfilling it if you live a life that is in accord with the precepts of God. If everything you do in life is filtered through your faith, everything. Well, I always pray about the big decisions, and I pray about my family, and I pray about that. Do you pray about the mundane? You should. Because that's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you pray about everything. You ever pray if you're going to go buy a new car? God have to do with that. He's got a lot to do with it. Do you need a new one? Can you get by with a used one? You can save money. You can do other things with that money. You know, if you need a new one, do you need this? There's a big difference between want and need, okay? Do you need this, all right? Pray about it. You may get the highest end. If you prayed about it, whatever. But you let your faith inform everything that you do. Then, you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All right? Those are the commandments. All 10 and the summary. As I said, even the summary can sound intimidating if you don't put it in a proper perspective. We need to have true wisdom. We gain true wisdom as believers. And this is individual. Notice the prophet does not say, priests of Israel, if you're wise, you will shine like the firmament. Levites, if you're wise, because you teach the people. He doesn't say that. He says, if you, the individual, are wise, you will shine like the firmament of heaven. This is an admonition to you, each and every person that bears the title Catholic, to have true wisdom. And now for a Catholic, that true wisdom comes from three sources. Scripture, the traditions of the church, capital T, and the magisterium of the church. Those are the three legs of the Catholic stool, so to speak. We are living in precarious times. I would actually maybe use the word perilous times. Yeah, I always use the analogy, I don't want people coming in here and being like a little baby bird in a nest with their head back and their mouth open just waiting for stuff to get dropped in there. You need to work at your faith. You need to know your faith as an individual. And what I said about these times being precarious or in some instances even perilous, you cannot trust your fellow Catholics to give you the right information. In some cases, you cannot trust clerics. You can't trust some prelates. Look at the news the past couple of weeks. Now, this is not to say you as an individual, because I'm saying just the opposite. That's Protestantism. Me and my Bible. Me and the Holy Spirit. You know, my subjective approach to God. I'll approach God on my own terms. I'm saying just the opposite. Be Catholic. Be Catholic and be attentive to Scripture, tradition, and the magisterium of the Church. Start with Scripture. The first prayer that we had today, actually that formulation that's in that prayer comes from the old days. It actually comes from Anglican sources, but it's in a Catholic prayer because it's good. All right? It talks about Scripture. It doesn't, hey, read your Bible. It says that you should hear the Word of God, that you should read the Word of God, that you should mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God. That's a long list. Yeah, it can be summed up in what St. Jerome says. To be ignorant of Scripture is to be ignorant of Jesus Christ. You are supposed to know your Scripture. It is not an I'm not a reader. That's how he talked to us. Okay? Bottom line. I'm not a reader. Get a CD. In the car. Yeah? Seriously. It's the Word of God. And we are supposed to hear it. And that hearing, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. Listen to the Word of God. You can come in here and hear all you want. Listening is a completely different thing. You need to listen to the Word of God. You need to read it, or, again, CDs, whatever. You need to be exposed to it yourself, not just listen to what other people say about it. You need to mark it. Now, it's really cool if you take that literally and mark it, highlighters, underline, circle, asterisks, you know, dog ear pages. That's great to have a Bible like that. All right, but more than that, it doesn't mean that when it says mark it. You know the old saying, mark my words, remember what I'm saying. It'd come back to haunt you generally when you heard that from your mom or your grandma. Mark my words, mark the Scriptures. Remember them. Remember what you hear. Learn it. Inwardly digest it. Like when you eat food, it becomes part of you. The same thing should happen with God's Word. You should know it to where it becomes part of you. That doesn't mean memorize it. I'm not talking about being able to pass a seminary Bible exam. You should know it, All right? Because again, St. Jerome, ignorance of Scripture is ignorant of Jesus Christ. You need to know Scripture. You need to know the traditions of your church. And there are a lot of them. Okay? There are 2,000 years of stuff as a Catholic. You get, you know, I tell you, everybody, I love when people come in my office. I don't have all this stuff down yet. Oh, really? Well, when you do, come and tell me how you did it. I don't. All right? The traditions of the church are long and deep. We have a very deep faith. This can be sort of a litmus test. If somebody ever presents things, well, the church used to teach that. Guess what? If the church used to teach and believe something, it still does. That's Catholicism. It does not change. You can add things to it. You can add to the foundation, but it doesn't change. You don't jackhammer the foundation. You lay things on top of it. That's the traditions of your church. All right? Capital T. Things that don't change. The magisterium. This is the precarious, perilous times in which we live. All of those three rungs, Scripture, tradition, the magisterium, they all have to agree. All right? They all have to agree. The first time you hear somebody in the magisterium say something that is not in accord with Scripture or not in accord with church tradition, they are wrong. Just because you wear a red hat or have a pectoral cross chain hanging on your chest does not necessarily... The vast majority of them, great God. The ones that aren't are scary. They're usually vociferous. They usually have some kind of a spotlight because the world, the evil, dark world, loves when Catholics, particularly Catholic prelates, say things that are not in accord with what everybody knows that the church has always taught and believed. If the spotlight's on somebody in the world's press and they're saying how great they are, huge yellow flag. Huge. All right? I'm not going to name a name, and I'm not even going to say what he said. Two times in one week, a prelate in this country, one of the largest dioceses in this nation, said two of the most outlandish, heretical things. One of heresy? Are you questioning my Catholicism, sir? I question your Christianity. That's how bad it was. Twice in one week. Actually, it was like twice in 3 days. Same guy. All right? They're out there. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Well, it's wrong for us to say anything. No, it is not. The scriptures tell us that Paul confronted Peter, and the last time I looked, he was the first pope. He confronted Peter to his face when he dropped the ball. All right? The Holy Spirit tells us in the book of Acts, when the apostles went and they taught the Bereans, when the apostles showed up, the Bereans were lauded by the Holy Spirit and by the apostles for searching the scriptures to make sure that what the apostles were saying were in conformity with the scriptures. You need to know the Bible. You need to know the tradition of the church, and you need to know the magisterium if you want to be wise and if you want to be discerning. Because if you don't, you lose sight of things that you should know. That first reading today, prophecy of Daniel, Old Testament stuff. I don't like the Old Testament. It's boring. It goes on. It doesn't flow. It's this, that, the other thing. If you don't know the Old Testament, you can't appreciate Jesus Christ, okay? That's all there is to it. The Old Testament is more than 2/3 of the Bible, okay? It's, you know, it is the foundation. Everything in there points forward to Jesus Christ. And it teaches us. That first reading today is three verses. Three verses. I could read three verses. What do you get out of those three verses? I'm not even going to go there because we could be in here for months, because there's a boatload of stuff going on in three verses of the Old Testament. One thing, we always need to understand what our church teaches, what Scripture teaches, what the magisterium has always taught about certain subjects. And it opens up with this. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge over the people. That is a very explicit statement. St. Michael the Archangel has charge over God's people. In the Old Testament, that was Israel. And we know, if you know the scriptures, in Galatians, the Holy Spirit tells us through St. Paul that the church is the true Israel of God. So if St. Michael the Archangel is in charge of the people, has been given charge of the people. Guess what? That's you. We talk about angels. Just kind of get more broad than just Michael. We'll get back to there in a second. Angels. Generally, where does our mind stop? We're getting toward Christmas time. You're going to get a bunch of Christmas cards with the picture of the angel on there. A little fat baby with the little wings. As I always say, the toilet paper roll. Joy, joy, joy. Or whatever. Merry Christmas. You know. That's not an angel. There is no angel described like that in Scripture. Ever. Angels are scary. Every time somebody sees one, they fall on their face and they think they're going to die. They think it's God. They're scared to death. Angels are scary. They're not beautiful Western European looking blonde women. Okay? It's another thing. You never hear about angels having wings in the Bible, ever. Seraphim and cherubim have wings, not angels. We never hear that. Okay? They don't have wings. They're not women. They're not men. They are not given or taken in marriage, but they're scary. So they're probably men. All right? They're scary. King David, an angel of death, is unleashed on Israel because David messes up again. And he buys a threshing floor to give sacrifice to God. And he gets a glimpse of the angel of death that's standing in there. And he buys the threshing floor and he goes, "You guys go in there and set up everything. I'm not going in there." This is a man after God's own heart. He won't go in because he's scared to death of what he sees, because angels are scary. They're warriors. All right? That's what an angel is. Not a chubby little baby with little wings and toilet paper rolls. We know from the Scriptures and from the traditions of the church that they are integral to the proper order of creation. You've been given an angel. You have your own. How many Catholics pay attention to their guardian angel? Communion of the saints and all that, which is great. I love some saints. I love all the saints, but some are really special to me. I've got a guardian angel. He has been there from the time I took my first breath, and he will be there when I breathe out my last, and he will usher me into heaven. Where do I learn that? The Bible. God has given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways, that you may not dash your foot against a stone. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, don't offend one of these little ones, because their angels behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. All right? You have your own angel. Talk to him, her, whatever. All right? Whether it's him or her, it's scary. And it's yours. They're integral to the proper order of creation. We know that from Scripture. The traditions of the church and the magisterium have taught us, and I quote from the Roman Catechism, "Angels who by nature hold an intermediate place between God and man are the guardians of our salvation." The angels are the guardian of your salvation. Yeah, we say the St. Michael's Prayer at the end of every Mass. You know, what's up with that St. Michael's Prayer? The vast majority of people, I actually had somebody go, I'm never going anywhere else because you say the St. Michael's Prayer. Okay, excellent. That's good. Great. That, and we say Holy Ghost and not Spirit. You like that too. That's cool. The angels are that important. If St. Michael the Archangel, as we know from Scripture, has been given charge over God's people, you think we ought to respect him a little bit. This isn't about angels. This is about me and Jesus. Well, obviously, Jesus doesn't see it that way. Kind of an important thing if you're a Christian to understand how he set things up. All right? So Scripture, tradition, the magisterium. We learn it here. One of three verses in the Old Testament. We hear about resurrection, bodily resurrection, in this passage of Daniel. The Old Testament doesn't talk about resurrection. Oh, yeah, it does. There's a lot of allusions to resurrection, some ambiguous statements about resurrection. This talks about bodily resurrection, people who are in the grave who are raised up to eternal happiness or misery, unchanging. The four last things, death, judgment, heaven or hell. Old Testament, Daniel, one of three verses. And much, much more in three verses of the Old Testament. That's why it's so important to know your Scripture. That's what makes you wise. Not only wisdom of knowing Scripture, but all this, so again, as I said, the traditions of your church and the consistent magisterium of the church. If you are wise, you will shine like the firmament of heaven. And it actually goes on and says, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Another little quote from St. Jerome, teachers shall resemble the very heavens. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a priest. You have kids. You hope to have kids. You talk to your friends about your faith. Do they know you're a Catholic? They should. You are turning people to righteousness. And you shine even brighter if you turn others to righteousness. That's not what I say. That's what the prophet Daniel says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who is God. We have to know our faith. Have to. Not an option. You need to learn your faith. You need to know your faith. You need to share your faith. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.